If only it was so simple. Oh, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, oh, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, oh, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, oh, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no, you wanna and the boo and the willy that low no,
you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listeners supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Quinn. I'm from Haynes Falls. I'm 11 years old.
I'm Emily. I'm from Hudson and the director of the Hudson Area Library.
I'm Maddie. I'm from Caro and I'm 11 years old, like Quinn. Emily, Quinn, Antonia, who's not here, and I are here every Monday from 3:30 to 4 p.m. talking about books. Books we love, books we're currently reading.
All that good stuff. Yay. And today we're going to talk about the Hudson Children's Book Festival.
So it's close to books. It is books.
It is about books.
But it's just not books we've read. Maybe we have.
And I don't know if authors and illustrators would want to be considered stuff. But they are good, very good. And it was a great festival. We definitely want to thank all the authors and illustrators that showed up and all of the volunteers and different staff people that worked on the festival, making it so great. So thank you. Hooray.
Thank you. Yay.
So what did you all think of the festival?
It was really, really cool.
I liked it.
What did you like the most about it?
I guess meeting the authors and talking to them and seeing what really cool books there are that are out there.
The feeling in the room of lots and lots of people.
Meeting Jacqueline Woodson.
Looking at books. Really
cool. Yeah, there's very good energy in the room.
Yeah.
Everybody seemed like they're having a good time. Mm-hmm. Even the crying babies.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because the crying babies had books to read too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or to be read to them.
Yeah.
Or to read someday.
That'd be really cool, though, if they could read it.
Mm-hmm. They did have some board books. So maybe there were some babies there that can at least read the pictures in the board books or count. Mm-hmm. Is there a lot of board books that have counting in them? So you can like count the butterflies or the bumblebees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and which authors were you most excited to see?
Jacqueline Woodson. And, well, it was really cool to see Walter Dean Myers. I haven't read any of his books, but since he's, like, so, like, really famous and stuff, that mm-hmm. was just still really cool. Hungry Mr. Bungry author. He was awesome.
You loved Hungry Mr. Bungry.
Yes, I did.
I couldn't be excited about them until I met them. And then I got excited about them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's pretty much that. Except for Jacqueline Woodson. That I was just really excited
and
the whole
Mary
time.
Mary Rose.
Mary
Wood.
Mary Rose Wood. Yes. Yeah. No. I said it in one. Oh, I can't get it. It's okay. I keep saying Mary Rosewood instead of Mary Rose.
It's Space. Tricky.
Yeah, Mary Rose Wood is her name, but it's really easy to say Mary Rosewood.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mary Rose Wood. we have an interview that we did with her that we thought we would share with you all.
And she wrote The Incorrigible Children of Ashton Place, which Quinn loves. And I got to read over the weekend, and I loved it too.
Oh, great.
Only the first book, though.
Because you haven't read the other ones yet.
Yeah. No.
But anyway.
Yeah.
So why don't we take a moment and listen to that interview, and then we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Hi, I'm Antonia.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Quinn.
And I'm Mary Rose Wood, the author of the Incorrigible Children of Ashton Place series of books.
So what is it about?
Well, the series takes place in Victorian England, and it's about three children, Alexander, Beowulf, and Cassiopeia, who are found running wild, barking and howling in the forest of Ashton Place, which is a great manor house in the countryside in England. Lord Frederick Ashton, who's the lord of that manor, finds them while he's out on a hunting expedition, and of course he's very surprised to find three wild, barking children loose on the grounds of his estate. So he takes them in, and he and his wife, Lady Constance Ashton, decide to hire a governess. And the lady that they hire to be the governess is actually a 15-year-old girl named Miss Penelope Lumley, who's a recent graduate of a school called the Swanburn Academy for Poor Bright Females. It's her first job as a governess, and she has no idea what she's getting herself into. But after she takes the job and discovers that her three students are rather unusual, she has to change her ideas about what they need to learn, and she drops her lesson plans about teaching them Latin and geography and all that good stuff, and instead devotes herself to teaching them how to eat cooked food and wear clothes and how to stop chasing squirrels. The children are good students, but it's very difficult for them to give up all their wolfish ways. But luckily, Miss Lumley's a wonderful governess, and they make great progress. And soon enough, she's trying to solve the mystery of who they really are and who left them in the woods and why.
And her own mystery, right?
And, good point, and her own mystery, because in thinking about the origins of the incorrigible children, Miss Lumley comes to understand that there's a lot of mysterious things about her own upbringing that she's never really understood. For example, she spent her whole childhood at the Swanburn Academy, which was fine, but she was dropped off there by her parents when she was a very small girl, and they never came back to get her, and she actually hasn't heard from them in a really long time. Now, she's a very plucky and optimistic person, so she keeps expecting that she will hear from them, but in fact she hasn't. And trying to figure out the mystery of where her parents might be and why they've been absent for so long also becomes a very central part of the series.
Do you have a favorite character in your books?
Well, all of my characters are dear to me in various ways. I would say that Penelope Lumley herself is probably the closest in personality to me because she loves to read. She loves to read aloud to the children, and those are things I love to do. And she's also very fond of animals, which I am as well. But I will be honest and say that the character that's the most fun to write is Lady Constance Ashton.
Oh, yes, of course.
Because she's absolutely hilariously clueless. And I really love imagining the sort of askew way that she's...
Let them eat cake.
Yes, she is very let them eat cake, you know. But even Lady Constance has a room for growth, I think. I think Miss Lumley is going to end up being a good influence on her.
Yeah. I have a question. Emily
said she was looking at the poster and she was looking at the girl who was biting the guard's leg. Do the three children have specific bad things, in quotation marks, that they do? Like the biter or the hair puller or something?
The drooler?
The drooler. Yes, I was going to say, Beowulf does have a tendency to drool when excited. And Cassiopeia, the littlest one, tends to be the fiercest. But all three children are very influenced by their wolfish origins. And I wanted to say that we actually learn quite a bit more about what it was like for them in the woods in the third book in the series, which just came out. It's not what you think, right? There's some surprises in that book that we actually... Miss Lumley has reason to take the children back into the forest, and they actually meet the wolves who helped raise the children. So, many more clues are revealed.
Yeah.
How many books have you written?
Well, before starting the series, I had written some young adult novels, but this is my first series for middle grade kids, and I've written the first three books in the series so far, and I'm writing the fourth book right now, and there will be six books altogether.
So you were in a Broadway musical, right? Can you tell us a little bit about that? I just need to ask.
Yes, to answer your question, when I was 19 years old, I was in a famous flop Broadway musical called Merrily We Roll Along, and I'm actually very proud of this because it was a great adventure, and to this day some of my close friends are people that I met doing that show. But at the time it was quite a catastrophe as well, because the show, for which we had very high hopes, was dismissed by the critics as a total disaster and closed, you know, very quickly after we opened. And it felt like quite a tragedy at the time, but in the many years since then, the cast album has gained the show a very loyal and passionate cult following, and it's now really one of the beloved scores by Stephen Sondheim, and I'm really proud that I was part of it.
Awesome.
That is really cool. I wish I could be on a Broadway show.
Even if it was a flop.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It was great to talk to you.
You too. Thank you so much.
We're back. That was one of our first interviews.
For some of us.
For some of us. Hooray. Good job.
We also did another one, but we didn't record it.
Yes. We have a couple others that we did record. One is lost in the world, but it still happened.
It was a great conversation, though.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
We had many great conversations. We just didn't record them all.
Yeah. Well, and you were saying that there was a question that you were wishing you had asked after the fact.
Oh, yeah. Well, I knew there was two questions I wanted to ask. The one about their specific badness, and then the second one about why she wanted to set it in Victorian England, because she had mentioned, like, before we started the interview, that sometimes, like, Victorian England is a place that we would all like to go.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think I would, too, just to see the pretty dresses.
Hmm.
Controversial.
I also like the word governess, which I feel like when I think of the word governess, I think of
Sound of Music,
kind of
me.
England and like sort of back in the day.
Austria.
Yes.
Yes. Seven children.
One of her qualities that kind of gets on my nerves is how she's like, I'm assumed as a servant. Or like how like...
This is Miss Lumley.
Yeah, Miss Lumley, she weighs herself in how much power she gets.
Hmm.
She's just a governess. She has no name. And the servants don't really care.
Hmm.
Like, act her as if there's one of herself, but she feels like she's more. And then also, she feels like she's above the servants, which kind of gets over my... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like that Mary Rose Wood said that if they, like, cast the... I think she was talking about the movie version, that you should be Miss Lumley. Because you look kind of like her.
Perfect.
I said I wanted to be the biting kid.
Cassiopeia.
Who apparently is a drooler.
No, not...
I'd want to be Lady Cassiopeia. Constance.
No.
Oh, is the other one's the drooler.
Lady Constance, for me, like, no question.
That's who you want to be.
Definitely Lady Constance.
Yeah.
We'll let Antonia be the drooler, then.
Yeah, you might have to dye your hair blonde, though, Maddie.
Yeah. Mm. I would. She gets to wear a lot of pretty dresses, and I love her attitude. Well, not, like, really, but, like, I love the way for a book.
In the back of the book, the illustrator mentions how he doesn't like writing.
He
doesn't like drawing girls with pretty dresses.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But he's very good at drawing pianos.
Yeah.
That was really funny.
Hmm. That was fun talking with her. That's cool how she's in a Broadway musical, too.
I know. Yeah. Really, though, I'd love to be in a Broadway musical. I really wouldn't care if it was a flop. Yeah. It still would be such a great experience.
And the story about the soundtrack's pretty amazing, that the soundtrack was recorded even though the show was closing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like she was saying that after the critics had dismissed the two, I think they did like two musicals, and their voices were raw from like singing and then crying their eyes out the night afterwards.
Because it was canceled, yeah.
Yeah. Then they went in and like there's all these like just beginning college age students. They just ran, they were in the studio and they just sang, and everybody loved it, the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Merrily We Roll Along.
It's a funny title.
It is pretty odd.
Well, another author we spoke with, who we did an interview with, who also watched my bags for me. She let me put my bags full of books under the table while I walked around because I was really hurting my shoulder. Those books get heavy.
Yeah.
She wrote a really cool book.
Ellen Jensen Abbott.
Yeah, that I got, called Waters Meet. And then she also wrote, it's a trilogy. Mm-hmm. And it's a dystopian / fantasy novel, which is really, really cool. And it's got dwarves and centaurs and lots of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to play a quick interview by her, and then we'll be back again.
Okay, so your name is...
Ellen Jensen Abbott.
Hi, and you wrote Waters Meet and The Centaur's Daughter, mm-hmm. which is about the dystopian world and fantasy, right?
Yep.
So if you could be a character, because you said there's a lot of fantasy characters in it, what would you be? Would you be a dwarf or a centaur? Or?
I keep coming back to the dwarves. I don't know. Whenever I'm writing one of these books... the dwarves are the ones who really, like, I really just like hanging out with them, and I just, I'm writing the third one in the series right now. It's going to be a trilogy, and I just had this new dwarf show up, and I just really like him, so I wouldn't have normally said that I think of myself as a dwarf, but it turns out that that may be what I am, deep down inside.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I like dwarves, too.
All right.
I'm reading The Hobbit right now, and I like dwarves, too.
Yeah. So, the covers are really interesting. Is this a picture of the girl?
Yes. Yeah, and she is she's outcast in her society because she has dark skin and dark hair, and her society is everyone's blonde and blue-eyed. And she has these green eyes, which mark her as a healer. So she's a gift of healing. But all of these things make her different than everybody else, and they don't like that. So they have this idea, they call it the paragon of beauty. The perfect, beautiful person is very fair skin and blonde hair and blue eyes.
When you write your books, like, do you have a planned plot, or does it just sort of unfold?
It's kind of both. Like, I have a plan, and then I get into writing it, and the plan falls apart. And so I keep writing and see where it goes, and then I come up with another plan. And I keep sort of going back and forth between what I call discovery writing and planning. And for both of these, I knew what the end was going to be. And the one I'm working on now, it's really giving me a hard time. And I know what the super very end is going to be, but I have no idea. It's between where I am now and getting to that total end.
So it's sort of like a puzzle that you just have to figure out.
Exactly like a puzzle. It's really weird because you feel like you're moving, you have all these pieces, all the characters and the places and the issues, and you move them into different relationships, and you think, oh, this is good, this fits here, this fits here, but that doesn't fit. So now you have to take it all apart again and say, okay, let me try this piece. Oh, no, this piece will fit, you know, and it is exactly like a puzzle.
We had to do a problem like that in math where you just got like a few, it was like variables and stuff, and you got a few numbers, but then you try something and it wouldn't work, and it's just, is it like,
it's exactly like that. And for example, I just threw out about 70 pages and 6 months worth of work because I had done all this writing in this direction and it wasn't the right direction. And I'm sure I learned many things from that, but I am now 70 pages behind where I was. So.
Oh, well.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll
what am
get
I going to
there.
Do? Yeah, right.
Is it fun to sit here and tell people about your books all day?
It is fun. Believe it or not, it's fun, particularly to talk to people who like to read. You know, know, and there people are really interested, and both students and teachers and librarians. I mean, lots of people who are just into books. And I'm also a teacher. I teach English, so I love people who are into books. So it is fun.
Well, you have some very lucky students.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you for talking to us.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
Good job, guys. Mm-hmm. I actually met her, I think it was 2 years ago at the festival. She was here with Waters Meet before Centaur's Daughter was out. So I first met her there and then read her books in the meantime.
So when did Centaur's Daughter come out?
Centaur's Daughter just came out, I believe, maybe January, February. It was recently. That's a fun continuation of the story. She builds a pretty interesting world. And there's maps and stuff. I like books with maps. Mm-hmm. I liked the question you all asked about which fantasy character she'd most want to be or who she relates the most to.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you all think for that.
I wouldn't know. She said something about dwarves and centaurs and I forget what else.
But just from any fantasy book you've read, what character would you most want to be or do you most strongly relate to?
Werewolves.
Goodness.
What is that? Is that from Pratchett?
No, a werewolf?
Oh,
a
werewolf. I thought you said something else and I didn't. Yeah, I heard Verival and I was like, I don't know what that is, so it must be Terry Pratchett. So you'd want to be a werewolf?
Yeah.
Or you most identify as a werewolf? Are you a werewolf?
No, I just like them a lot. Actually, I probably can relate to them most also.
Hmm.
I am not sure.
Because of Terry Pratchett books.
I'm trying to think. I just don't know.
I think I would want to be some kind of sea creature. Maybe a mermaid. That's the only one I can really think of. I'm sure there's other fantastical
hippocampi.
Oh, I love those.
I don't know what that
they're is. They're Pegasus rainbow fish ponies.
What?
Well, no, they're well, they're not Pegasus, but they're horse top half, and then they're like
fish
the rest of the other half.
Huh. Yeah, so like, sort of like a seahorse.
It's like
but
a
not
mermaid.
Quite.
Yeah.
It's like a mermaid, except the human heart is part is switched with a
horse heart. I think I'd rather be a mermaid. I don't know if I want to be part horse.
Yeah.
Although horses are very nice.
Yeah. Being a
but
siren
I love being
would be
in
cool
the
too.
Water.
Siren? I think I have to kill too many people to be a siren.
Yeah. It'd just be cool to like lure people towards you. I don't know.
Come
just
here.
La 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 la. And lure people. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. Gorgons, people chop off your head too much.
Yeah. Ooh. They do.
Yeah, that doesn't sound
but
fun.
But it would be cool.
Mm. Nice hair, though.
On the plus side. Silver lining of getting your head chopped off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've had nice hair. I think a lot of mermaids have nice hair, too.
Yeah,
they do.
Can they talk to their hair?
I mean, they can probably talk to their hair. I don't know if the hair listens.
Exactly. But
they do have magical combs.
Oh.
Do they?
Yeah.
Wow. Mermaids. What goes on with these magical comby mermaids?
I don't know. I think that makes them captivating or it makes their hair, makes their hair grow longer. Or I don't know. One of those things. I just heard that they have magical combs.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would you be, Emily?
I chose the mermaid.
Because
I really like to swim. I don't do it often enough. And I feel like if I was a mermaid, I'd kind of have to.
Yeah. Would you get tired of swimming, though?
Well, I could be like Disney Little Mermaid.
Well, except she had to forsake her little tail.
I wouldn't want to be... Is it Hans Christian Andersen, the original? I can never remember if it's Grimm or... Mm-hmm. I think it's Hans Christian Andersen.
I hate the Disney movie of the Ariel, though. They gave her a pink dress, and she has bright red hair. It's an awful combination.
So wrong.
It's... Ooh!
That's the worst thing that happens to her.
Right? Yeah. It's awful.
Oh. Bright red hair. I mean, you have to choose your dresses.
Mm-hmm. Well... Maybe I'd be a mermaid without bright red hair, although bright red hair is very pretty.
Yeah, it's very awesome.
I could just wear a different colored dress or not worry about clashing.
Exactly.
Wear green or something because they're contrasting colors.
Oh, I'll look so nice at the mermaid ball. Or it's not a mermaid ball, I guess. Human ball.
Yeah.
For mermaids.
Hooray.
Light green, maybe. Mm-hmm. Light green is pretty.
I think we have time for one more quick interview.
Ooh. Okay.
So is this also known as Harper? And yeah, the lady wrote, she's the smile lady.
Yeah, they kept telling me. I was like, so who did you interview so far? They're like, this person, and the smiley lady.
Yeah.
And I was like, who is that? But they knew her. They knew her books, so.
Yeah.
So let's hear a little bit from her. I think this was your first interview too, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So let's see how you did.
I'm Antonia.
I'm Maddie.
Who are you?
I'm Anne Haywood-Leal. I'm the author of Also Known as Harper and A Finder's Keeper's Place.
Cool. We're from WGXC 90.7 FM, and we were wondering if you wanted to talk about your book with us.
So, what book do you think is your favorite? Like, if you could be a character from both of those books, like, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I've heard other authors ask that question before. A lot of them say it's kind of like choosing your favorite child. I would probably always love Harper because she was my first book. So, I think she's the most like me. She writes, she's a writer, she writes poems, and really wants to get people to notice her with her poems. Kind of quiet, and that's the way I was when I was her age.
So were you into writing when you were Harper's age?
Yes. When I was in sixth grade, I wrote a 100-page novel, and I thought that I would get it published. I wrote to Judy Blume to tell her all about it, and she was very nice. She wrote back to me, and she said, just save all of your work. She said, never throw anything away, and I haven't. So I took Judy Blume's.
So do you still get some ideas from your novels when you were in sixth grade?
That's a good question. No, I still have them. The novel I wrote was called Mischievous Martha, and it was kind of like Ramona or Junie B. Jones, where she did things that I would have never dared done, you know, I would think it would be too scary for me to try, but I had my main character do them.
So it's sort of just like an opportunity to be someone you weren't.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Very well put.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, girls. Bye.
Bye.
Cool.
I liked that she wrote to Judy Blume when she was little and got a letter back. That's so sweet.
Yeah.
And I think that's very good advice if you're writing, to always keep everything you write, even the stuff that's not so good.
Mm-hmm. Because you can get ideas from it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very, very true.
Yeah. I actually went to an author talk last week down in Rhinebeck where Kristen Kishore, who's a fantasy writer, was talking about her books. And she brought her notebooks because she writes everything by hand and then transcribes it into a computer. Like she'll talk into the computer and get it transcribed that way and then she edits from there. And she had all these notebooks that had just tons and tons of stuff crossed off. And she brought them to show us because she wanted us to see that as writers, a big part of writing is failing. Like you have to be okay with like writing something and throwing it away.
I could never throw it away. I could start over.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. I just can never throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big
good
at failing.
I don't think she meant throwing it away for good, but realizing it's not going to be in the final cut.
Yeah. I think I'd do that more than keeping stuff.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time for the day. But fortunately, the afternoon show is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They just don't talk about books as much.
Yeah. We should make a suggestion to them that they should talk about books more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. Thanks, girls, for recording those great interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Adios.
Rika Pika Rika
Rika Pika Rika Nina Mina Rika Rika Day Day Dam Rika Maka Naka Maka Naka Chika Pika Rola Rika Ram Pam Pong Ram Pam Pong